I suppose that's the first question everyone should ask is, do they need life insurance? And not everyone does need it. So it all depends on your own circumstances. So really, life insurance is an insurance that replaces an income that would be lost in the event of death. And it's as simple as that. And it pays out a lump sum. Generally speaking, it pays out a lump sum in the event of death. So where you need life insurance is really in, I suppose, two circumstances. One, you owe money, whether it's a mortgage or other loans, or two, you have people depending on your income. So you have kids, or you maybe have elderly relatives, or you have maybe older dependents that are depending on your income in order to sustain them, etc. So that's the first thing that people should, that's the first question people should ask themselves, is whether they need life insurance or not. So every now and again, we will have people, you know, coming into the office or ringing, asking about life insurance, and they actually don't need it. Why? They're single. There's no one depending on their income. So in that circumstance, they'd be far better off maybe taking out or looking at maybe serious illness policy or an income protection policy.
Okay, so a lot of people should have life insurance, but for someone like myself who doesn't have it, how much should I have? And more importantly, how much is it going to cost me?
Yeah, so again, all depends on your circumstances. So how much should you have? And that will depend on a number of factors. You need to see how much of an income you have, okay, and how much you need to replace. So basically, if you die, that income is gone, okay? So therefore, you need to decide how much of that income you would need to replace for your children or for your dependents. So that's number one. And sometimes, you know, And that will obviously then depend on how many dependents you have. So, for instance, if you have one dependent versus five dependents, they're completely different circumstances. The cost of it then is down to a number of factors. Your age, how much you take out, obviously, and the length of time you take that policy out for. So, for instance, 100 grand over 10 years is going to cost less than 100,000 euros of life cover over 30 years. So the length of time has a big factor. And the other big factor that is involved is your smoking status. So if you are a smoker, roughly it costs about double that of a non-smoker for life insurance. So if we're both the same age and I'm a smoker and you're a non-smoker, and you're paying 50 euros a month for life insurance for the same level of life cover, same terms, conditions, I'll be paying roughly about 95, 100 euros. So smoking has a huge bearing on it.
That's reason enough for smokers to give up, I would suggest, Tommy.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Listen, you know, with the cost of cigarettes and even just the cost, you know, obviously the effect on your health is number one. But yeah, the various little things like the cost of life insurance, like the cost of income protection, serious illness cover, it all has a knock-on effect. So yeah, absolutely. Give up the fags.
We've just been chatting earlier in the show, Tommy, about Men's Health Week and men's reluctance to get checked out or keep on top of those particular issues. When it comes to life insurance, is this another area where, you know, in a marriage or a relationship, both the man and the woman should have life insurance, but perhaps, and I hope I'm not generalizing here, maybe women are more likely to look into this and get it sorted out and men don't think about it as much, but really they should do?
Yeah, it's actually the other way around. Now, why that is, I'm not sure, but if you look at the statistics, men in general have more life insurance than their female counterparts. Now, that could be down to the fact that I suppose there are more women maybe not in the workforce, maybe working from home, working in the home as housewives or homemakers, you know, as the politically correct term is now. So there's a little bit of that, and maybe certain jobs as well. You might have death and service benefits with certain jobs, and maybe, you know, again, some females might be losing out on that because of the fact that maybe they're homemakers or whatever like that. So I suppose it's a strange one in that, yes, men's health, you know, from listening this morning, men aren't the best to talk about their own health or get checked out if there's something wrong or if they feel there's something wrong, they're very reluctant. But the statistics bear out the fact that actually life insurance in general, men have more life insurance in general than women. But I think that's, if I had to guess, and I haven't looked under the bonnet of these statistics, if I had to guess, I would think it's due to the fact that, you know, there are probably more women that are working in the home rather than out in the workforce. So I think, and they're probably losing out on maybe death and service benefits and that kind of thing, you know. But what I do find is, in over the last number of years, you know, it's often the case where, you know, a husband and wife may come in and they'll look at their overall financial circumstances, including life cover. And it, what I do find is that it's often the female, the wife, the partner, the female partner that's actually pushing the life insurance and the income protection, the serious illness agenda. So from that point of view, I definitely do think that females have a huge part to play in the decision making when it comes to things like life insurance and serious illness cover and that kind of thing.
Okay, Tommy, so for those who don't have life insurance and are thinking about taking out a policy, one thing to consider is the variety of them that are on offer and which ones are better than others, or are they all pretty much of a likeness? Are they all the same?
So, yeah, so I suppose life insurance, what does life insurance do? It pays out a lump sum in the event that you die. Okay, so it pays out to those that are left behind, or as I said, are relying on your income. So that's the first thing. Then you have different aspects of are different types of life insurance. So for instance, you have mortgage protection, which is a decreasing life insurance policy. What that means is, like your mortgage, if your mortgage starts off at 100 grand, your life insurance starts off at 100 grand, and that life insurance will decrease to zero over the term of the policy. So if it's 20 years, you start off at 100 grand and it decreases to zero, like your mortgage does over a 20-year period. So that's your mortgage protection. Then you can look at things like a joint policy versus a dual policy. So a joint policy basically pays out a lump sum in the event that the first person dies, and that's it, policy finishes. So husband and wife comes in, one of them dies, there's a lump sum paid out, and the policy then finishes. What a dual life policy does, it insures both equally. So for instance, you may have 100 grand of life insurance on both the husband and the wife. One of them dies, it's 100 grand paid out. There still is 100 grand worth of life cover on the remaining partner, spouse, whatever it may be. So there's different types of it. Then you've whole of life policies, which basically can insure you for the rest of your days. You have certain policies that will cover you in the event of inheritance tax planning, all that kind of stuff. So I suppose what we've always said, Alan, on the program is take advice, get advice, and get independent advice. Go to your local broker, your local financial advisor who deals with a number of these companies and ensure that they're putting you with the policy or matching you to the policy that actually suits your needs. And everyone's needs in general are different, you know. So I suppose going back to what we said, life insurance is quite simple. It pays out a lump sum in the end of your death, but there are a number of different types of policies that you really do need to get advice on.
The main thing, Tommy, I'd imagine people will consider when they're thinking of taking out a life insurance policy is the price and whether they can afford it. But is there anything else they should be thinking of before they go and take one out, and be they speaking to a broker or a bank about it?
Yeah, so in fairness to life insurance, it's relatively cheap. People think, you know, to get a couple of hundred grand worth of life cover, now it depends on your circumstances and your age and all that kind of stuff, but in general, it's not that expensive. Serious illness cover and income protection are a lot more expensive because you're a lot more likely to actually use one of those, right, than you are to die. So life insurance in general is quite cheap. What you need to consider after that then is the amount you need, and then the length of time you need it for. So for instance, you've no life cover and your youngest child is 12, you probably really only need life cover then for the next 10 years. But if you've no life cover and your youngest child is 2, then you probably need life cover for 20 years. What I've always said is that you're better off taking it in blocks of 10 anyway, in blocks of 10 years. What that means, even if your young child or your child is relatively young, you know, your circumstances will be completely different financially in 10 years' time than they will today. If you look back where we were 10 years ago compared to where we are today, it's a completely different world. So I prefer, and I would always advise, get the requisite amount of life cover that you need now for a shorter term rather than a lower amount for a longer term, if you understand what I'm saying. So, but again, it's all down to getting proper advice. Go to your local advisor, go to your local broker, again, who deals with a number of these companies. He or she will be able to look at your individual circumstances and come back with recommendations in relation to the amount and the type of life cover you should have and the term of the policy that you should have.
Are there ever any circumstances where life insurance is not paid out? I would imagine in the majority of cases it is, or perhaps I'm wrong there. Quite often can small print get in the way and prevent somebody from cashing in on life insurance, or red tape or something of that nature?
Yeah, not really. In fairness, 97% of claims are paid out for life cover. So the 3% is down to either non-disclosure. So someone comes in and they've had a heart attack 2 years ago and they don't disclose it, or they've had some form of serious illness and they don't disclose it, etc., that kind of thing, or fraud. So, for instance, there have been very few cases now, but there have been a case or two where people have, and you'll read them in the papers and about them, where people have actually put in a fraudulent claim for life insurance. So really, it's only non-disclosure and for fraudulent claims, basically. So it's quite simple. As long as you're honest and you, when you go through the process of the application form, filling out all your health details, all that kind of stuff, disclose everything. There's no issue then, you know, life cover will the policy will pay out. All the companies that are really operating in the Irish market are kind of double A rated, huge companies that are around for the last 200-300 years. So I wouldn't have any issue in relation to their being able to afford to pay out these life claims. So yeah, no, 97% of claims are paid. That's what the statistics bear out.
Dual or joint life insurance, Tommy, is that something people should be considering?
Yeah, again, there's, when it comes down to, people should do dual for a simple reason that it's basically the same price as joint, and you're getting double the cover. So again, just to reiterate what joint means, if myself and my wife take out a joint policy and I die and we have 100 grand each, there's 100 grand is paid out and the policy finishes. With dual, it's 100 grand each. So in other words, if both of us, God forbid, were killed in a car crash or something like that, there'd be 200,000 paid out. So for the same price, dual life policy, generally speaking, is always the one to go for. They're relatively new. What I mean is they're probably only around for the last 10 or 15 years. Every policy up to that period was maybe joint life. So some people might still be on joint life policies, for instance, for a mortgage protection, that kind of thing. But if you can go for the dual life, it's the same price, basically, or very, very little in the difference anyway.
Okay. Are there ever any circumstances or a scenario where taking out life cover, life insurance, is unnecessary, where you don't need to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, we have had people coming in looking to take out life cover, and you kind of go, hold on a minute, you don't really need it. You're single, you know, you don't have any kids, there's no elderly relative living with you that is depending on you. You know, you don't need life cover, you know, so, and then you might steer them towards something like income protection or serious illness cover. So absolutely, yeah. Not everyone needs life cover, but everyone should ask the question whether they need it or not. That's the first port of call. But generally speaking, if you owe money, in other words, if you have a mortgage or other loans, you should really have life cover, because that debt doesn't die with you, unfortunately. In most circumstances, it doesn't anyway. That's number one. Or number two, have you people that are depending on your income that would be at a loss financially in the event of your death? Then you need life cover if that is the case. If you don't fall into any of those two categories, then you don't really need life cover. So yeah, there absolutely are people out there that do need it, that don't have it, and there are certainly people out there that maybe have it that don't need it.
And obviously, Tommy, to finish there, for any household or couple or family, there's always a mountain of sources draining money from you, and financial priorities and areas to consider where you need to send funds. How high up the list, or maybe even on top of the summit, should getting life insurance be? Is it the most important thing to consider?
Generally speaking, if you have dependents, it is, because without your income, without that, your dependents won't have a house, they won't have your income, they won't be able to afford the car, they won't be able to afford your holidays, they won't be able to afford the porridge that you put on the table every morning. So life insurance is number one priority if you have dependents, absolutely. And you really do need to consider that. Even if you are renting, people think, oh, well, I don't have a mortgage or anything like that, so I'm okay. But if you're renting, who pays the rent in the event that you die? That kind of thing. So absolutely, I would ask the question, if there are people that are depending on your income, then life insurance should be a huge priority. More so, I would say, than any other insurance that you pay.